Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Step back three, left wing, hand in his face. Doesn't matter for Dame, as he'll hit his third three of the ball game.
Bucks talk starts now.
Bucks entered the game with a four-game losing streak. That's gone. They win tonight on the road over the Hornets, 112-102.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
112-102, the final score in Charlotte. Bucks get back in the win column and take down the Hornets. It was a much-needed win, and overall an impressive win for the way that the Bucks were able to close out the Hornets and never really let this game become a ball game. That every time we'd see Charlotte, I think it only happened on two occasions, every time Charlotte would pull the margin below double digits, the Bucks responded with an answer. And especially the way they closed it out, you heard Doc Rivers joking that Darvin Ham even said to him, hey, why can't we blow teams out and get rest for our guys? That's what they started to do, and pulling away in the fourth quarter, and it built up some much-needed time off for guys like Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez. So a much-needed win for the Bucks, who now head to Atlanta to wrap up this brief road trip on Friday night. But look, the elephant in the room is the reported trade that the Bucks engaged in earlier today. It's the awkward dance that we all have to do. Doc Rivers asked about it before the game and said, you know, now, number one, now is not the time or the place to discuss this. But also, I have to wait until things become official to comment on the incoming player and the outgoing players. But it's a similar spot for me, too. Look, nothing's official. We're seeing the reports that the Bucks have traded Chris Middleton. That is obviously where we're going to spend a majority of all of this show tonight. Is, I think, Brandon, it is a day that a lot of Bucks fans probably thought was coming, or a decent amount thought was coming. A sliver of Bucks fans were hoping for this. And just seeing some of the reactions on social media, it does seem like one of those things where you don't really know how it's going to hit you until it comes and you realize, oh yeah, Chris Middleton's gone. And everything that he did for this team, he is without question one of the five greatest players in franchise history.
Man, that's you're absolutely right, Justin.
He will no doubt have his jersey retired. Michael Redd, for any Bucks fans that did not get a chance to see it, shared some thoughts I want to go through as well. That Michael Redd, of course, wearing the number 22 and saying, you know, I remember the night that my jersey was retired, coming back to Milwaukee and jersey, not number, coming back to Milwaukee and bumping into Chris Middleton, seeing him on the trainer's table and telling him, hey, do you know who wore number 22 before you? And he told me yes and knew it was me. And for his retirement ceremony, not for the jersey retired, but telling that to Chris Middleton, and Chris Middleton knowing it was him and telling him basically, make that number proud. You know, do the most with that number because of how I carried myself, how important it was for me to be a member of this this team. And one championship, three all-star selections, a legacy that goes far beyond the numbers. As Michael Redd said, make sure you represent the jersey well. Man, did he ever deliver, is what Michael Redd had to say there. And there are so many moments we can all point to that we all remember. I would probably say let's just do that tonight, that this game. There's some other trade notes that have taken place I do want to start to get to throughout the course of the show, but this show tonight is about Chris Middleton and the impact that he's had on this team, on Bucks fans, throughout the community here in Milwaukee, and all of those Chris Middleton moments and memories is where we need to spend tonight's show really digging into.
Yeah, if you text WATCH to 855-616-160, you can actually see producer Matt did a great job of putting Michael Redd's message and some of his thoughts on the YouTube channel, so you can kind of read through that. I think everything you said was spot on, Justin. You know, first off, you know, shout out to the Bucks tonight for being able to handle maneuver, you know, the emotions that were certainly a factor into their day. I know that that kind of caught maybe a lot of them, maybe by surprise, maybe it didn't. I'll admit, Justin, on to you and to Bucks fans all over, I did not think the Bucks would ever trade Chris Middleton. I thought he was a franchise guy through and through. I know he started in Detroit and he was kind of a throw in for the Bucks, you know, over a decade ago.
He was a throw in.
Well, yeah, was a throw in. And yeah, I thought he was going to finish here in Milwaukee. I really did. And it's a guy that gave Bucks fans everything he had. I mean, for a guy to go through the injuries that he did, he carried them on their team last year in the playoffs when they didn't have Dame and they didn't have Giannis. And I know that they didn't win the playoff series against Indiana, but he gave it his all, man. You mentioned it. He's an NBA champion, 3-time All-Star, number one in franchise history in threes made, number two in games played, number one in three-pointers made. He gets my game ball tonight, Justin, and I don't think there's any debate there. Shout out to Dame and Bobby Portis, who had a fantastic game tonight. It's really good to see Bobby back in on the court. But Chris Middleton was – the Bucks don't win the championship in 2021 without Chris Middleton. You know, scoring the 40 points in the NBA Finals, kind of offensively carrying them in the Eastern Conference Finals after Giannis went down with that scary knee injury and eventually returned. He's meant so much to this team in so many different ways. I'm completely with you, and you mentioned it, Nick. I don't know if you noticed me shaking my head. Yeah, because I kind of knew this was a possibility. I didn't think it was going to happen, but everything's a possibility after Saturday. But I got emotional today thinking about it, Justin. Like, thinking about the memories of Chris Middleton in a Milwaukee Buck uniform and the important shots he hit, and Giannis talking to Chris after they won the championship and the way that he looked at Chris and he said, "We did it. You know, that's my brother. We've been through it. We scratched and crawled for minutes against each other when they both first got here." He was an integral part into what this team eventually has become throughout the years. He's a big piece, in my opinion, of why the Bucks are relevant. Obviously, Giannis has a lot to do with that, but you're absolutely right, man. I wasn't prepared for it this morning. It really did hit me in a different way, and I hope, you know, Chris is going to be able to go out on his terms and do the things that he wants to do to finish out his career. But he's a top three Buck of all time, and that's debatable, I suppose. But definitely wasn't ready for it this morning.
I mean, a week, 2 weeks ago, when the Bradley Beal chatter picked up and you saw this backlash of Bucks fans, I think realizing maybe Chris has had a better career than we realized in coming together. Yeah. No, we don't want this. We'd rather keep Chris Middleton. And look, the unfortunate part is the last 3 years, that the health that was robbed of Chris Middleton, and I've mentioned it many a times, I have a hard time calling him injury prone, because the big injuries we're talking about are two freak accidents, where he comes down on Kevin Durant's foot and he slips on a wet spot against the Chicago Bulls. But unfortunately, those two things just triggered more and more issues for Chris Middleton to constantly battle these past few years. And if it weren't for that and he were healthy, number one, I think we all feel pretty good. I'm not saying the Bucks would win the championship, but it's a much different story in 2022 when you're defending your championship and you feel like that Bucks team, I think, beats the Celtics and maybe the Miami Heat get them a year earlier, but who knows? But still, you never really had the proper chance to defend your championship because of the injury that Chris Middleton suffered in that series against the Bulls. And it was just more of the same to overcome. And even this year, when you saw the Bucks being very patient and trying to work him back into the mix and seeing, not that the door is closed on Chris Middleton being an impactful player and being a guy that can contribute in the playoffs, but it's like any relationship where maybe you become a different person than you were when you met this person you're in this relationship with, and things change and just kind of drift apart. And what the Bucks needed at this point was something that Chris Middleton just could no longer provide them. And that's the unfortunate part of it, but it doesn't take away anything else from the previous 12 years of Chris Middleton's time here in Milwaukee, where, again, he's going to go down as one of the most important players in franchise history. And if it weren't for those freak accidents, the health issues, and those injuries, he would have been number two behind Giannis in just about every single historical category statistically in Bucks franchise history. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, Bucks beat the Charlotte Hornets. But the news of the day is the trade that took place earlier today, the reported trade that took place earlier today between the Bucks and the Washington Wizards, where Kyle Kuzma comes back, according to Shams Charania, to the Bucks, and Chris Middleton, the big piece that's going out to the Washington Wizards. We can get somewhat into Kyle Kuzma, but to me, the majority of tonight's show is about Chris Middleton and the previous 12 years that he brought, the impact he had here in Milwaukee, and again, his role on a championship, only the second in franchise history, and one that, you know, you mentioned, I mentioned a number of times, it doesn't happen without Chris Middleton. Round by round, Chris Middleton hit the biggest shots throughout the playoffs. It all got started, a Bucks team that was embarrassed in the bubble against the Miami Heat the year prior. Giannis was hurt, I get that, but the Miami Heat thoroughly outplayed them. And that was a Bucks team that was an absolute regular season juggernaut. That up until the final week of the regular season before the bubble, the Bucks were on pace for 70 wins. And the Miami Heat just steamrolled them. You come back the next year. You, of course, make the Drew Holiday trade. And it looked rocky at times before the Bucks found their footing. But in that series, you get the Miami Heat and just the message that the Bucks had where they could have ducked that opponent. And now we want Miami. And they get the Miami Heat. And knowing that's the team that beat you the way that they did the previous season, game one was a tight one. Chris Middleton hits that turnaround jumper by the free throw line, the game-winning shot to give you game one. The Bucks were a much better team than the Miami Heat in that series. If they lose game one, I still think they win the series, but you never know. And they don't win game one if it wasn't for that shot by Chris Middleton. The Brooklyn Nets series. We can talk about Kevin Durant's foot on the line and the injuries that the Nets sustained. Chris Middleton hit the go-ahead basket in overtime of game seven that clinched that game and clinched that series. The first ever road game seven win for the Bucks. And again, it was vintage Chris with that free throw line jumper that won the game for the Bucks. In the conference finals, Giannis goes down. Bobby and Brooke were fantastic. Chris Middleton had a 40-point game against the Atlanta Hawks, and then game four in the NBA Finals, where Chris Middleton is one of those guys that can say, I had a 40-point game in the NBA Finals. It was round by round. He was so consistent. And, you know, we can mention Giannis. He is certainly one of the greatest of all time, and rightfully so. But that Bucks team does not win a championship without Chris Middleton. And even last year, Chris Middleton basically single-handedly dragged that team to six games against the Indiana Pacers. So truly a special player and one of the all-time greats in franchise history whose time reportedly has come to an end with the Milwaukee Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take your Chris Middleton memories. You can share some thoughts on the trade as well if you have that. But again, I think most of the show is about Chris Middleton. We'll get to your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk. 112 to 102, the final tonight in Charlotte. Bucks beat the Hornets, but it comes the same day where the Bucks have reportedly traded Chris Middleton to the Washington Wizards for Kyle Kuzma. Without question, one of the greatest players in franchise history. The overall story of Chris Middleton, his upbringing in South Carolina, and not a heavily recruited player, lands at Texas A&M, becomes a second-round draft pick. Has to play in the G League, his rookie season with the Detroit Pistons, is a throw-in trade in a deal that netted the Pistons Brandon Jennings and sent the Bucks Brandon Knight and some other guy that most fans had never heard of, eventually becomes a three-time All-Star, hits the biggest shots along the way of that 2021 journey to an NBA championship, and cemented his spot as one of the all-time greats in franchise history. And now Chris Middleton's time in Milwaukee is reportedly done. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and hear your thoughts on today's news. We start with Dick in Port Washington.
Yeah, hi, Justin. From what you guys were saying here, maybe my comments might won't be appreciated, but, you know, one thing that age does for you, you get a perspective. I've seen the Packers get rid of Jim Taylor and Paul Harning. I've seen Jabbar, who was Luol Cinder, get traded. I've seen the Packers force out Favre. I've seen the Bucs get rid of Drew Holiday. I guess I'm defending the franchise because I think the franchise always has, for the most part, and it might be due to monetary reasons, what's best for the team is best for the fans. Everything you're saying about Chris is tremendous. I mean, when Giannis went down against Atlanta, Chris carried the team. Drew Holiday, if he didn't take that ball away from Booker, who knows what would have happened. But if you want me to go over my 4 points defending the franchise, I won't. If you're really on a mode to talk about Chris, how great he was, a lot of this stuff to me doesn't even need to be said. I think everyone knows it. I think Chris knows it. But I think you have 4 points to defend the franchise. But I get it if you don't need to bring them.
No, go ahead.
All right. I think the biggest thing that's going to help the Bucs is that we got under the second tax apron. From some reports I saw today, we've got $29 million extra dollars to spend, and we can aggregate players for the trade. I think long term.
I mean, that
this
part.
I got, listening to Bobby Marks and stuff talking, I mean, this isn't my.
Yeah, it's 31 million next year that they'll have, not this year, but creating next
extra.
Year.
No. I know that. But in the future. Yeah. Okay. So that's the biggest positive to this. We just didn't trade a guy to get under this. You got to give something up, get something. I mean, we got an experienced vet. He's taller, younger, got a higher scoring average. He's already endeared himself to me by he reduced his tradable bonus. He wants to win. Chris, I love the guy. He should have his number in the rafters, but he's had too many injuries, and it takes him too long to heal and come back. The numbers I heard today on Pardon the Interruption, he has only played in 55% of the games with the Bucks since 2021. But my biggest take on this is that the trade will help Dame to be Dame. I think we can put to bed the feeling that we need to have a big three that was forced to us. I think it's affected, and this is my opinion, affected Dame's play on the court, especially when Chris was on the floor. He would try to get Chris into the game when maybe he shouldn't have. I think a big two can carry us. Forget about the big three. And as Shaq always says, the others really make the difference. And the others now can step up. And I think we saw some of that tonight. Now, with that said, you can crucify me that I'm anti-Chris. I am not. It was tremendous. I've watched this guy the entire time he was here. And I think Giannis owes a lot to Chris for bringing him along and teaching him what it's like to be a pro player. What do you think?
I mean, I don't disagree with a lot of what you said there, Dick. And it's not that this is anti-trade or upset that he was dealt. This was more just, hey, he was an important piece of the franchise. This wasn't just, the Bucks. And it's not to take away from what Drew Holiday did because he was equally important in that championship run. But the time spent here and what Chris Middleton did in the community as well and where he ranks in franchise history, it's a big piece to move on from. And this is more reflective and not saying, hey, why did you trade Chris Middleton or this is at fault. That's what the intention of this was. I don't disagree with a lot of the points that you made, and I think we all understand why they made the trade and what they're looking to get out of this. So that's what.
Yeah, but if you look online today, some of the comments.
Well, that's your first problem there.
You're probably right. It's like like Dr. Google when you got an appendicitis. Don't believe what Dr. Google says. But I think you got to look at the whole picture here. I think we've got to get his number up there. We got to have all the other stuff that goes with it. But I think by dwelling on losing Chris, we miss the overall point of what the Bucks are trying to do. We're the third or fourth smallest market in the NBA. Giannis is only going to be with us for so long. These guys have said we should hang on to this 31 pick. We're going to stink in 31. And, you know, I'm 74. I might not see much of it, or at least not know what the hell's going on when I'm watching it. But we've got rough times ahead. You got to do stuff like this now. Yeah. I think, just like Drew Holiday said, if I would have been the Bucks, I would have traded me too. I bet Chris is going to say the same thing. And I'm reading tonight, and again, I'm listening to Trade Google here, but I don't think Chris is going to end up in Washington. I think he's going to be moved on probably to some contender.
My theory on the trade is still not official, which is why, if you were listening to the game broadcast, you may have been thinking, why aren't these guys talking about Chris Middleton being traded and what Kyle Kuzma is going to bring to the team? It's not an official trade, so we kind of have to wait for that to go through. But we've seen other trades that were made today become official that I do wonder, and I talked with somebody about this earlier today when this news started to trickle out of, is this something that's going to drag and it's going to, like, now the Wizards and Bucks have reportedly agreed to this deal that it's going to morph into a 3 or 4 team trade and Chris Middleton just gets rerouted somewhere else to a contender. And the longer that this goes on and we did not receive official word from the league or a press release from the Bucks of Bucks acquire Kyle Kuzma, the more I think that's the case.
Well, I think you also got to worry about a guy that, and you know, what the heck do you believe here? And a lot of this falls back onto the Bucks because they are, to say they're translucent is being generous. They're probably more like a brick wall. You never know what the injuries are.
But you gotta wonder about. I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Yeah, there you go. That's wonderful, John. Oh, wait, you're not John Horst. You got to wonder about his ankles. And I think some of it maybe falls on Chris that he's uncertain if he can play yet. He's been cleared to go back full force for months, and it just has never happened. So maybe a different orthopod's going to look at this and say, yeah, these ankles aren't too stable. So how's that going to affect the trade? Because remember, Chris has the power to get another year out of wherever he goes. There's another, what, $36 million coming his way.
34 so, is the player option.
34.
And then,
and who of us would say, oh, no, my ankles are bad. You guys don't have to pay me. I mean, what? No. I mean, no, none of us would do that. I have a concern that way that we could end up back with him, and then what the hell is going to happen? I mean, it's going to be very weird if that happens.
To get to the other point that you made, too, about, look, I can see why, and I can, too, see why the Bucks did this, and here's what's coming in here. So the things to keep in mind is the big piece that gets you under the second apron. It's interesting because of another trade that took place, and I have to look up the salary for this impacted player to see exactly where we're at with him. But it opens things up like you can sign anyone on the buyout market. So before, if you're a second apron team, you would basically have to limit it to anybody that was making less than $12 million. I don't think this is going to happen, but let's say Bruce Brown gets bought out by the Raptors and they don't find a trade for him between now and 2 o'clock tomorrow. The Raptors buy him out. You could sign Bruce Brown, and that would be a really nice fit with the Bucks. So it opens up that. It makes sure your first round pick in 2032 is unfrozen. And it's not the worst thing in the world to have it frozen. It just means you can't trade it until you cleanse from the cap, which is going to take 3 years to do so. And it saves enough money, too, that the Bucks, by not being that second apron team, it's not just veteran minimum contracts that you have to deal with in the offseason. Like, you have your taxpayer mid-level that you could use. You could, in theory, depending on what happens tomorrow, if there's more moves, or what happens with Brook Lopez, a free agent in the offseason, you could, in theory, have your full mid-level contract to use here this summer. So it does that. It gives you the financial flexibility, something fans don't care about, but it's important to the organization because it impacts what they're willing to spend down the road. It shaved their luxury tax bill in half by about it shaved it about in half, that the Bucks had the third highest luxury tax bill going into the day today. They've now dropped down to fifth, but it was around $75 million. It's like 38, 39 that it sits at right now. So in that sense, if the ownership group is not saying, hey, we're paying out a ton in luxury taxes and we've been bouncing the playoffs 2 years in a row, maybe it happens again this year, we got to reconsider what we're doing. So those are things to keep in mind. But the Kyle Kuzma piece, everything you brought up about Chris Middleton, the questions surrounding his health, I don't think there were many questions about his offense. It was largely the defensive game. And sure, he had a couple of scoreless games, but it did really look like he was starting to round into form in vintage Chris Middleton on that end of the floor. Defense is where the question really stood at. And when you looked at teams like the Celtics, even the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you looked at people that they have on the perimeter where you say, we're going to need Chris Middleton to slow these guys down, I think you had serious questions there. Kyle Kuzma is four and a half years younger than Chris Middleton. Now, in the past, it's been a couple of years, but Kyle Kuzma really made a name for himself with the Lakers as a 3-and-D player who was a pretty good defensive player. We've seen a little bit of that. Take a step back where you're not quite sure how much of it is he's not that guy anymore or just wasn't in a great situation, but he's much younger, and it's a value contract. And I think that's the other thing we learned about Chris Middleton is it's not a great value contract if the guy we've seen the last 2.5 years is who he is go forward.
Yeah. I've got one other question for you. I know I'm taking up a lot of your time here, but what did you think of my last point, though? I think by not having a big three, the guys we have now have a great opportunity to increase their playing time and going forward 2 to 3 years from now. We could use some of this money to sign Trent again. I love Chris. It really sounds like I'm trying to get rid of him. I'm not terribly hurt for where the franchise is going with this, because I think it's really going to make us better. Not so much that we're picking up a third big man or a third wheel here. I think we need Giannis, we need Dame to take us through everything, but it's the others that are going to make the difference. And I think those guys are going to get more playing time and less pressure. Because a lot of times when those guys were on the court, they were there with Chris, and they got him the ball. Now, those guys will maybe have to take control of the ball. And that's where I think they're going to grow. And it's not just for this year, the growth, but for the years to come. So thanks a lot for listening to me.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dick. And that last point, I get the logic behind it. Unfortunately, we just haven't seen enough of that trio together to really know one way or another how much of the three-headed monster approach versus just Dame and Giannis and the others hit open shots and play within the flow of the offense was an issue. But we're going to find out now, assuming there's nothing else major that happens here between now and 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Got a few other calls on hold we'll get to. Again, Bucks beat the Charlotte Hornets today. They play without Giannis, play without Chris Middleton and A.J. Johnson for the obvious reasons. and to get big games from Damian Lillard and Bobby Portis, snapping their four-game losing streak and beating the Hornets. We will take more of your thoughts on a very busy day for the Bucks after this on Bucks Talk. 112-102, the final in Charlotte. Bucks beat the Hornets, snapping a four-game losing streak, but they had a busy day off the floor as well, reportedly trading Chris Middleton and A.J. Johnson, along with a light pick swap to the Washington Wizards for Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin Jr., and a second-round pick. I'm curious what happens with Patrick Baldwin Jr. I know everybody initially excited to see, yeah, I remember him at Sussex Hamilton and with the Milwaukee Panthers. The Bucks do really need to open up a roster spot, because after tonight, I believe it's 10 games that Ryan Rollins has left on his two-way deal. I wonder what happens there, but you do acquire another second-round draft pick where you now have two, your 2031 and a 2025, this summer's second-round pick at your disposal. You have some other value contracts now, or one specific value contract. You still have that 2031 first-round pick to use as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, and some more interesting moves that have trickled in the last hour to 90 minutes. I do want to get to a little bit later in the show as well. Let's head back to the phone lines and hear from Q in Milwaukee. You're up next.
Justin, what a bittersweet day. Very happy we broke the losing streak that felt a lot longer than it was. But as you were talking about, it's like Chris is probably, he's definitely in the Mount Rushmore, probably a top three player for this franchise. Second all time in games played, first in 3 points made. We would not have won in 2021 without him. And I want to echo Dick's point that I don't think Giannis would be the player he is today without his friend in Chris Middleton, because they came in basically at the same time, and that was when Giannis was very vulnerable, did not have his family members here. And I think, like, it's like going off to college. Like, when Giannis first got here, he was an 18-year-old and didn't know anyone, and I think Chris was one of his first friends on the team. And you could hear that in his voice at shoot-around today in that interview that there was clips going around. So I think it's amazing to me that they even won tonight with, like, Giannis not playing and what happened today. But looking towards the future, I wish we could have made it work with Chris. Like, it's, I think it'll always be like what could have been. Like, we're not going to get a playoff game with Dame, Giannis, and Chris. Like, yeah, we never will see that. That's a bummer. Like, I think John Forrest will, like, go to his grave thinking, like, what if that would have hit last year? Like, I think that's one of those moments for this franchise. But this is the golden era for Bucks basketball, and Chris is, like, it's been all over the internet, but he's the Robin to Giannis's Batman. So thank you, Chris. But I'm so excited that the team is freed of the second apron shackles. Like, we can breathe again. Like, there's so many more. You guys were kind of rattling off the different things we can do. Like, we got a second round pick, and we have our first round pick for 31. Like, I did not think that was going to be possible, like, for us to get under the second apron without that. So it's a great move, and it's nice to bring a power forward back that might be able to play defense. So I'm excited about Kyle Kuzma and hopeful that John Horst isn't done yet this year. But, I mean, we've got two firsts and a second next year and some cap space in the summer. So it feels like we have more opportunities to, like, make magic happen again.
Yeah. A second this summer, and your only other second is 2031. That's when you have your only other first-round pick as well. And we talked about the last week or so, do you trade that 2031 first-round pick? Given, look, at this point, that is probably, if it's known that it's available – That is probably the most valuable asset that is out there on the market right now. The teams are eyeing the Bucks and saying, hey, by the 2031 draft, Giannis might be out of Milwaukee. Even if he's not, he's going to be 36 years old. Most of the rest of this team is probably going to be gone. That let's start to circle the wagon here. Like, I'm willing to take not necessarily less, but you're hearing a lot of they want multiple first-round picks for player X. So I think the value of that pick means we're willing to take that one versus two first-round picks that may just end up being okay picks. But also, you know, look at some of the trades we've seen in the past couple of days here. And obviously the Luka Doncic deal was the outlier where you think, how did this happen? And you see, okay, the Mavs shopped for Anthony Davis and said, here's the trade we're proposing. We want this guy. This is what we're willing to take. So it wasn't put on the open market. I don't know what he gets on the open market. I would assume it's more than one draft pick. But not many teams have multiple firsts to offer anymore because of previous trades and because of the fact that teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder and Utah Jazz have basically hoarded everyone's draft picks. So this is kind of what's out there, and I agree with you. The fact that you did not have to unload any other future draft capital, which the Bucks didn't really have any to begin with, but the fact that you didn't have to do what Phoenix did, and this wasn't a, look, we're only agreeing to this deal with two first-round picks, so take that 2031 and turn it into three picks and give us two of them, I think it's a big win for the Bucks.
I completely agree, and I'm excited to see what Kyle Kuzma can do. Like, he hasn't played truly meaningful basketball in a few years.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if this can light a fire. And it's like, if anybody can do that, it's a locker room with Dame, Giannis, and Doc Rivers. The last question I'll ask and then hang up to get your answer is, what do you think this did for the floor and the ceiling of this team this year?
Oh, it's a good question. I don't know how much it really impacts your floor. I mean, I think it slightly lowers your floor because I think you're still going to have some questions on offense. And you know, Dick's point, too, we need to see more of an extended runway of Giannis, Dame, and role players. But I don't think there are any questions about Chris Middleton's offense at this point. And you took away a big piece there. So on the nights where you're facing a defense that can crowd Dame and he doesn't have it, or I wouldn't say that Giannis doesn't have it because we've seen him be uber consistent and efficient all season long for the past two seasons, but it would be nice to have that other guy that you can lean on. Kyle Kuzma's done it in waves. He's not that, you know, like Chris Middleton had given you, but in terms of your ceiling, if Kyle Kuzma is close to the guy he was with the Lakers when they won the bubble championship, I think it raises your ceiling. I said lowers your ceiling, I think, before. I meant lowers your floor. But I think it raises your ceiling because you just need bigger wings that can defend and can kind of fit into that team mix. And you mentioned the competitive play that Kuzma has not been a part of before. I do want to start to dig into that. So thanks for the call, Q. But, Brandon, what do you think for floor and ceiling after this move?
Well, quite honestly, I think it's a tricky one because I'm curious to see where they, you know, what Kyle Kuzma that we're getting. There's obviously this trade's not official. There's still pieces that may or may not be added into it. But I do think that it raised the floor, Justin, and lowered the ceiling, if that makes sense. I think
so. The
that,
opposite of what I thought.
Yeah, I think they got, I mean, I'll tell you what, I understand the part of, you know, looking at Chris Middleton and obviously him being a shell of his former self. And obviously I didn't think he'd get traded. Obviously I was wrong. But the one thing about this whole trade that's really bothered me, and I know you might not agree with this part, I don't like the AJ Johnson piece to it. And I know I'm higher maybe on AJ Johnson than maybe you, Justin. Maybe I'm higher on AJ Johnson than I should be, and then maybe than a lot of others. I don't know. I saw the kid play on Monday. He looked really good to me. 13 points. You know, he looked like a player that he could play in the NBA. And I know you have to win now, and I know you got to maximize your opportunities with this team. But the fact that we're having a conversation about what do we think this did to our floor and ceiling, I think tells everybody what this trade did. Nobody knows, and I don't like that going forward, not knowing exactly what it's going to be. Now, obviously, it's got to play out. You got to get these guys in the locker room and on the court. But I didn't like the trade for a lot of different reasons. I've stood up for John Horst. I still will. I still think he's a good GM. I just didn't like throwing AJ Johnson into that trade. I saw the reports leaking last night that was the holdup, and obviously it's what the Bucks ended up doing. But to me, it's I don't know.
All right,
you don't have a lot of. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say it is an interesting conversation, and I think it was a clever way around what the Wizards were asking for the Bucks. So I do want to get into that and AJ Johnson's inclusion reportedly in this deal. Also, you mentioned it. It appears, and we talked about it with Dick, too, of has this not become official because Chris Middleton is going to get rerouted elsewhere in the same trade? I think I got to double check. I might have to reach out to Bobby Marks again, but I believe for the Wizards to move Chris Middleton before the trade deadline, it would have to be an all one fell swoop here because otherwise you can't trade him and then a day or so later trade him again. I think that's the timelines we're up against, so I wondered about that. It appears as though the holdup was there's more pieces coming to the Bucks in some reporting from Sham Sharania. So we'll get into that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks beat the Hornets tonight, snapping a four-game losing streak. I think on the pregame I said three-game mostly because did the game against the Thunder really happen or count with who was on the floor for the Bucks? But they win tonight. The big news of the day, though, is the week, the trade deadline upon us and some of the moves we've seen. We continue to see a flurry of moves all throughout the day today. The Bucks reportedly making one of those earlier today by sending Chris Middleton and AJ Johnson to the Washington Wizards for Kyle Kuzma and Patrick Baldwin Jr. We talked about it moments ago that, you know, the longer this has not become official, we still have not received official word from the Bucks or the league, that the more it makes you wonder, is a third or fourth or more team going to be involved in this and Chris Middleton gets rerouted elsewhere or something? And it appears the answer to the first question is yes. But it's not Chris Middleton, as Sham Sharania now indicating a name that the Bucks were linked to days ago is coming to Milwaukee as part of a three-team deal in this trade. The New York Knicks are sending the Bucks Jericho Sims, so remains to be seen what the Knicks are getting out of this deal. I wonder if Patrick Baldwin Jr. goes there, because if it's Jericho Sims, Patrick Baldwin Jr., and Kyle Kuzma going to the Bucks, there's another move in the works because the Bucks would be over the roster limit. So Jericho Sims, a guy that started to pop up and had started to draw some trade interest from teams like the Clippers, the Lakers, a few other teams. He is on a $2 million expiring contract, and the Knicks just feel they got a logjam with Mitchell Robinson and Karl-Anthony Towns, Precious Achiuwa in the front court. He's only 26 years old, too. I'm not going to sit here and suggest that Jericho Sims is your Brook Lopez replacement, but there's not a whole lot of centers on the market, and this is a young one that I'm curious to see what you have.
Yeah, I think Monday you asked me, maybe it was Monday or maybe it was Sunday, where you thought this Bucks team needed to go or where you'd like them to see him go in the trade market ideally, and we talked about Ingram. I think there's a few other names you and I had talked about, Justin, but I didn't have Jericho Sims on my bingo card. But I think he fits a little bit of what the Bucks need right now, right? Like, they need the athleticism. They need a big that can run the floor, that can, you know, be the, you know, the shot protector. And I don't hate that. You know, obviously these things will still figure themselves out and exactly who's going where and who's for what. But I mean, I'll say this, man, and I know I said I didn't like John Horst sending away AJ Johnson. You got to give Horst credit for not I mean, a lot of GMs would sit, you know, could sit idle and be like, well, you know, we're, you know, in the middle pack of the Eastern Conference. We're doing okay. Giannis, and, you know, is coming along, and Damian Lillard looks better. And I mean, he's not afraid to go out and improve his team. You know, whether we dislike that specific move or whether we think it's not enough or what you would call it, but he's willing to go out and do the things to put the best basketball team possible on the floor to compete for an NBA championship. So you got to give him credit. This team obviously had holes, and he's working to identify them. I don't think this is it either. There could be something else. Tomorrow is probably going to be a super hectic day, very busy throughout the entire NBA. But it's interesting. I don't dislike the Jericho Sims deal. I think he fits exactly what this team kind of was looking for. Especially you and I had talked about it, and we saw tonight. I mean, the impact Bobby had, 23 points, 17 boards. I mean, feels like the first time, Justin, in about a week and a half since he's been out, that they didn't get out-rebounded on the floor tonight. So it's a piece that I think is needed. I think he'll fit exactly what the Bucks have been looking for.
What specifically?
Sims, you're like, yeah. Athletic ability. Can protect, you know, catch a lob. Can run the floor. They don't have a backup big right now outside of Bobby Portis. Would you agree with that?
But once you get to the postseason too, that's it. Like you're not going to extend the rotation more. So to me, the curious part about this, and again, let's keep in mind Jericho Sims is 26 years old. He's played in 39 mm-hmm. games this year. I don't know off the top of my head what his career scoring average is. I would guess it's like 3 points per game, if that. He is not a rim protector, but he's an undersized center too. But he's a guy that is, I think he's a 90th percentile offensive rebounder. So there's that. But again, it's a Bucks team that doesn't really value the offensive boards and would prefer to get back in transition. But it does give you another live body. But as we just mentioned, you only got so many guys you can play in the playoffs. And I'm not saying we're good. We don't need any help here. But you have gone from three bigs to, at this present moment, five. I'm not saying this guy's gone or this is going to happen, but I think that's something to circle and keep an eye on, that now you've gone up to five bigs when, in theory, you may have brought in a replacement for somebody that's currently on your roster. When you look at Kyle Kuzma, I'm not saying Jericho Sims is a Brook Lopez replacement, but a lot of what Kyle Kuzma does, Bobby Portis does as well. Kyle Kuzma is a 90th percentile defensive rebounder. Kyle Kuzma can score. Kyle Kuzma is a better overall individual defender as well. So we still got some time before the trade deadline. This trade is reportedly evolved that I'm not convinced the Bucks are done here.
I think at the cost of it, you got to look at it and be like, okay, that's a win, right? Like, I mean, DeLon Wright in cash considerations is a win. I mean, you're not – the upside versus what it costed you to ship him out, I mean, isn't necessarily something that's overly concerning for me. I mean, Tom Thibodeau had huge praise for him back at the beginning of the year, going off of an earlier quote that I'm looking at now as I search his name on X, talking about him being – number one in center among centers in defensive field goal percentage in the restricted area.
I mean, do not pay attention to any individual defensive metrics. They're all noise.
I mean, that's fair, but I guess my thing is, you're not giving anything up. You didn't give up a draft pick.
I'm not saying you are. I'm not criticizing the Jericho Sims move. My point is, I don't think the Bucks are done because you've gone from three bigs to five. And
yeah,
we're not going to see him play that many bigs in the postseason.
And they're going to have to clear another roster spot with Ryan Rollins, you know, as you mentioned, just a few weeks away from that being something that's got to be addressed. So hopefully they're not done yet. I don't think any Bucks fans necessarily content with the trade deadline thus far. And look, man, there's a lot. I mean, Eastern Conference is tough. Watched the Cavs and Celtics last night on the night off for the Bucks last night, and those are two teams that are going to be extremely hard outs come playoff time.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. As it's been a very interesting day leading into the trade deadline here. The Bucks reportedly acquiring Kyle Kuzma and Jericho Sims, Pat Baldwin Jr. in that trade as well. But I'm curious about that one. We just mentioned you need to clear a roster spot. I wonder about that. If you need to clear a roster spot, to be clear, in order to upgrade Ryan Rollins. You're not over the roster limit, but you want to upgrade Ryan Rollins because I think it's just 10 games left. So that is something to keep an eye on as well. There were a handful of other trades made today, and I mentioned there's one name that is potentially very intriguing to me, which the Bucks would have the ability to sign if he is bought out because of the Chris Middleton move and this trade made earlier today that brought them underneath the second apron. We'll tell you who that is and get you caught up on the other moves made earlier today after this on Bucks Talk. All right, Jericho Sims is reportedly headed to the Bucks. He is a 26-year-old, undersized but athletic big man, was on a $2 million expiring contract for the New York Knicks. The one thing he has done very well throughout his 4 years in New York is attack the offensive glass. He is a high 80s, 80 percentile offensive rebounder. He's got a 12.4 rate this season. He's had 1 year where he's been pretty good at defending without fouling. You don't expect a lot of block shots and rim protection from him. That's not his forte. But it's going to be interesting to see a younger athletic big in the mix for the Bucks and what you can get from him out of that. It is DeLon Wright and cash considerations that are headed off there. So the absence to the Knicks, I should say, the absence of DeLon Wright, I think, puts the impetus on even more so. You have to upgrade Ryan Rollins. And look, again, Ryan Rollins is not a point guard. He is learning, but he's more of a combo guard. So I'm still not convinced it's, hey, Ryan Rollins, congrats, you're a backup point guard. And that brings us to what else do the Bucks need? They need another shot creator and a ball handler, especially with Chris Middleton gone, because he was essentially your backup point guard for large portions of, for basically all of last season, and for portions of this season, too. He's the guy that's going to run the offense with the second unit. By getting under the second apron, it means you can sign anyone that is bought out. If you're a second apron team, you can't sign anybody that's making above the full mid-level exception. And that number is about, I just had it up, it's 12-point-something million dollars. So this is important to point out because I said there's a guy that could potentially be hitting the market here. And that is the flurry of moves we have seen made. Oh, by the way, not to, to bury the lead here, Jimmy Butler has been traded to the Golden State Warriors. So sounds like the Bucks are going to see Jimmy Butler next week. And hosting the Warriors on Monday night. Dennis Schroeder was part of that trade. Shipped off to the Utah Jazz, I believe, in that deal. It's part of a three-team trade. It sounds like the Jazz are going to buy him out. And Dennis Schroeder is making above the mid-level. So prior to the trades today, the Bucks would not have been able to chase him if he is, in fact, bought out. If he is, to me, he makes a whole lot of sense to be a backup point guard for this team to help facilitate the offense. He can hit shots in a pinch. And the other part about it, the Bucks have been linked to Dennis Schroeder for years. It would really be something if long after Mike Budenholzer was in Milwaukee, the Bucks finally get his old pal Dennis Schroeder here.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the interesting part, Justin, in the next, 18 hours or so, whatever it is till the trade deadline. I think that's the part that drives me nuts about this trade is because we know what their needs are as far as ball handler. There's a few other names out there. I don't know how realistic they would be. Maybe this is kind of a wishful thinking. I know he just signed a 2-year extension about an hour ago. I was really curious about Lonzo Ball in Chicago. And I know the Bucks had, according to Casey Johnson, had engaged with that organization for Zach LaVine. That obviously didn't go through. But I would be curious, and I would be also curious to hear your thoughts, but I'm curious if that's something, and maybe that extension was signed so that they weren't getting the offers they liked. I don't know. Maybe that incentivizes teams a little bit more to go out and acquire him from them because it seems like
trade him.
Why not?
Because he just signed an extension.
I believe Shams tweeted out that he was still trade eligible. I thought I just read that.
I don't believe that's the case.
I'm looking at it right now, but I thought that he still was.
The Bulls had kind of maintained all along. We're willing to listen to offers on guys, but this is a guy that we want to keep. And even the contract that he signed it's a value contract to keep him there for that money.
He's still trade eligible this deadline. Couple different reports, but I don't know exactly what the details of that are. But I don't know. Again, it's also based on the research that I'm doing quickly on X on a few different beat writers down in Chicago that he is still trade eligible and that they fear that they weren't getting the offers because they feel like they were trying to get him out of Chicago.
I don't know why you would sign him to an extension to trade him, but
control for a team that wants to trade him.
You're not getting much control though. It's a 2-year extension, but anyway. So DeLon Wright and cash is what is reportedly leaving the Bucks in this trade for a Jericho Sims. So as it stands, Jericho Sims and Kyle Kuzma are the pieces in. And Chris Middleton and DeLon Wright are the pieces out. We mentioned Patrick Baldwin Jr. and A.J. Johnson as well. I do tell you what, I do want to talk a little bit about A.J. Johnson since you brought him up. So let's squeeze in our final break here. And when we return, why the Bucks would have parted with A.J. Johnson and his future. We'll get into that conversation and see what else comes out if this trade continues to grow here between the Bucks, Wizards, Knicks, and potentially more after this on Bucks Talk.
We get it. You're on the go, and life gets in the way. Stay up to date on all things WTMJ with podcasts of every show available on WTMJ.com. And don't forget you can stream WTMJ online and watch your favorite WTMJ shows on YouTube every show when you want it, no matter where you are. We are Wisconsin's radio station, News Radio 620 WTMJ.
I'm Libby Collins. This week on WTMJ Conversations, we're talking with Stephanie Grady. You remember her as a news anchor on Fox 6, but she's got a new business helping young people.
That's what you are all about in that moment, in that chapter of your life. But we try to help these kids and the parents see that this is an amazing piece of who you are, but it's just a piece, and you have more to bring to the table.
WTMJ Conversations, Sunday mornings at 11 on WTMJ. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, Bucks snap the losing streak. They beat the Hornets, and they have a very busy day so far on the trade front. I'm sure it surprised some people to see the inclusion of A.J. Johnson in this trade, but the Wizards were adamant we need a first-round pick in this deal, and all the Bucks have is a 2031. We've talked about this at length. I don't think a Kyle Kuzma-type player is who you break apart your first-round pick in 2031 and turn it into something else for. and they just had nothing else to offer there. So the best they could do was fine. We'll include this guy. I've seen a. I'm reading on the air too as I sent something to someone on the Lonzo Ball front, and it still remains to be seen what the exact language is in the contract, because even if it's a dollar more, then you are not. So
I'm just going off of what Casey Johnson
said. The current figures, the large view is Hayes making the exact same money, but if it's like $10 million and whatever rounded up, then you're not eligible. So I guess it's still TBD on that one. But look, everybody does this where we romanticize young players because, frankly, the Bucks have not had many to develop over the course of the years. Malcolm Brogdon and Dante DiVincenzo were basically it that panned out. And anytime there's a young player with promise, we kind of latch on to it and maybe see even more promise in there than there really is. I have seen, and it's not to say he's been bad, because let's keep in mind, he's still 20 years old and raw. But I've seen nothing from A.J. Johnson that leads me to believe he's a future all-star or he's a future starting point guard in this league. It's going to take time for that to develop. He is extremely raw. He's shown flashes at each level he's been at, but it has not been consistently there. He struggled big time against big-time competition last year in the NBL. He's had moments in the G League, but he's also a tweener and doesn't have a true position. That I think the other thing that we fall victim of is you see this guy's a lottery ticket. And so was Giannis. So this is going to happen. Again, maybe he has a bright future. Maybe he pans out and becomes a solid player. But I don't think realistically any of us have seen anything from A.J. Johnson right now to say, how can you give that guy up?
No, we have not. But I think what you said is kind of spot on. It's we haven't had that taste of a young prospect who's kind of been in between the G League and sitting at the end of the bench in the NBA, and then going into a game against Oklahoma City Thunder, where I know they only played their starters about half of the game. He just looked good. I mean, when you just watch him play, he just looks like he belongs.
He has twitch. I don't know you can't say he looked good, because he's still incredibly inefficient. He's quick and he has twitch, and nobody else in the roster has it.
I don't know. I think I hope I'm wrong. I hope, you know, well, I don't hope I'm wrong, because I hope that he has a very great career. But I think you talk about having a secondary ball handler. I wouldn't have been opposed to A.J. Johnson learning the ropes as the year goes on. And maybe I'm wrong. Just because I'm excited about a prospect doesn't mean my opinion's wrong.
I didn't have a problem with it. It's tough to give up on that. But again, like, you're playing for the next 2 or 3 years here with Giannis's contract, with Dame's age. Knowing your assets down the road are gone, he doesn't fit your timeline. And maybe he blossoms into something for the Wizards. It's the exact type of move the Wizards should be making. Like we said, it's a lottery ticket, and Giannis was the ultimate lottery ticket for the Bucks. It's the type of move that the Wizards should be making, but to me, for the Bucks, I think it was good business to say, we're not giving you the 2031 first. We're not turning that 2031 first into inferior first-round picks. We'll give you this guy that was just a first-round pick, because the other thing is, once the car leaves the lot, the value goes down. That 2031, that's what keeps it even more valuable, is the thought of this could be the number one pick. This is still a first-round pick. And A.J. Johnson was a first-round pick who immediately you look at your flaws and warts and say, well, yeah, I know you guys took him 24th, but we'd rather part with this for him. So, yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see if he finds any playing time and if the Wizards just say, screw it, let's let him learn on the fly this year, because why not? Where else are we going? He's going to be interesting to monitor going forward here. But we now have, try to do the quick math here, 17 hours, I think, between now and the trade deadline. I don't think the Bucks are done at least making calls. with those two names that we mentioned, it seems like they still have a need as well. So I think you're going to hear the Bucks linked. And that, to me, as we wrap here, Brandon, the biggest surprise of all of this was, well, this is an organization that their moves have been basically done in stealth mode through the years. And I automatically just kind of discounted or assumed names like Jericho Sims and Kyle Kuzma were not going to be coming to the Bucks, because we had heard about those names for a couple of days now, and that's traditionally not what we see with the Bucks.
Yeah, especially after what happened back in 2021 with Bogdan Bogdanovic. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting next day or so. This is you know, kudos to the NBA. I mean, this is exactly what they wanted. This trade deadline has been absolutely insane. And after Saturday, I you know, you and I talked about it, I believe, on Monday, it just kind of opened up the floodgates for anything to kind of happen. And now it's just, you can't really be surprised by anything. I'm still, the shock is wearing off of that we're going to wake up tomorrow and there's a real possibility, or I guess it eventually will get you know, confirmed from the teams that Chris Middleton's not a Milwaukee Buck, and I just didn't think I would see that day until he retired. So I'll go to bed sad tonight. I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll be excited that the Bucks got to win 112-102 against the Charlotte Hornets tonight.
Stay tuned tomorrow. Trade deadline 2 p.m. Central Time, and of course the Bucks back in action Friday night, 6:30 tip in Atlanta against the Hawks. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins, and as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.